Hello everyone, and welcome to the first episode of 2015. This is a generic live show for the first time this year. It is the 2nd of January 2015. I am Dale Campbell, delivering your best in 2014 extravaganza. We've got a huge show coming up for you this afternoon. It is currently 12:06 p.m. Because we had a late addition to the lineup and some technical difficulties, so hopefully they're all sorted out now. And I'm a little bit frazzled, as you can see from my hair. I'm a little bit frazzled from it, but we're not going to let that get us down. We're going to just dive straight in. We are going to play the headlines music because we've got Best of 2014 awards to give out. So let's get into those, and that starts off with this. Yes. We have some awards to give to 2014, because I hope you like 2014. We're going to start with the self-indulging awards because, that's fun. Thank you to all of those who voted in the GLS 2014 poll, which has now been taken down. So if you do go to that post that I put on the live page, you will get a 404 error because that poll no longer exists, because that's fun. Thank you though for those who did vote in the poll, and if you didn't vote, well, you better save up your best moments of 2015 so you can put them in the poll for next year. Here we go. The GLS People's Choice Award goes to episode number 8, titled "Freely Entering the Generic Market," when we were talking about how Netflix is coming to Australia. Was the discussion point on that one. The People's Choice Award's basically favorite episode. Topic of the year went with the "I Will Ride With You" hashtag and Sydney Siege episode. People enjoyed that topic because it provided insight and just drove into a topic without opinion. It just told the facts, man. GLS headline of the year was "Steve Ballmer resigns from Microsoft." Got the headline of the year. Now let's move into another self-indulging award, but we'll give you the exact results after this. The curtain call callback and the third annual Tony Awards predictions episode happened on that curtain call show, and seeing that that show is no longer around, we haven't been able to tell you the results of that way back in June. I didn't do that good, hence why I probably didn't want to tell anyone. I got 9 points out of 26, and I'll explain that a little bit later on, but no, I did terribly. Although I've gotten better. I think I got 7 out of 27 last time. So there you go. Metacritic did some awards. Metacritic's Game of the Year award goes to Super Smash Brothers for Wii U. It is an amazing game. I can attest to this. I'm guilty of liking that game. Metacritic's Best New Television Show, notice new, not just best television show. Transparent, which is an Amazon original, haven't seen it, can't comment. And Metacritic's Movie of the Year was Boyhood, never saw that either. Engadget's top gadget, there's too many gadgets, of 2014 is the Sony's Cybershot RX10 digital camera. And finally, in our award section of the show, we have Spin's Song of the Year award goes to Future Islands' song, "Season," was "Waiting on You," and I think that is the best, definitely the best music video of the year, but it's definitely well worth high accolades, that song. If there are any more awards of 20 that you'd like to give 2014, please do join the conversation, or start the conversation rather, in the generic live show Google Plus event page, and we'll get to those towards the end of the episode. That sums up our awards. So to sum that up, we'll play this. And now we will move into some Tony Award predictions. Yes, we do this every year. And yes, we are. I know Curtain Call is no longer a show, but we are still going to be doing the Tony Award predictions and results shows. Don't worry about it. It'd probably be on this show. I might. There's an idea for 2015. But no, the third annual Tony Award, the Tony Awards prediction shows are just so much fun and so geeky and just so. The results are not so much because I'm like, I fail on predicting shows. So there you go. I got some of the major categories though. This year we ran things a little bit differently. We did a. If we weren't confident, if I wasn't confident on who I wanted to win. Who do I think should win? So, and some of them were the same answer. So, if I got the would win, I would get half a point. Sorry, who would win? I got a whole point. Who should win? I got half a point, and that occurred twice, which bumped me up one whole point. So glad we implemented that system. So I'm just going to go down the line here. I'll do this really, really quickly. So the third, welcome to the third annual Tony Awards predictions results show. Best play. I predicted it was Casavellina, but All the Way ended up winning. Best musical. I wanted Aladdin to win, but I said A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder will win and did win, so there's a point. Best revival of a play. I said The Cripple of Irish Man for both. Raisin in the Sun actually won. Best revival of a musical, I said Les Miserables should win, but Hedwig and the Angry Inch will win, and I got that one. Best book of a musical, I said A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder should win, and Aladdin would win, but A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder did win, so I got half points there. Best original score written for the theatre, I said Aladdin. But Bridges of Madison County ended up winning. Best performance by an actor in leading role in a play, Chris O'Donnell of Mice and Men, I predicted. It was actually Brian Crossen of All the Way. Best performance by an actress in a leading role in a play, I said Audra McDonald for A Lady's Day at Emerson Bar and Grill, so I got that one. Best performance by an actor in a leading role in a musical, I said Ramin Kaurlu from Les Mis. Should win, but Neil Patrick Harris will win and did win, so I got a point on that one. Let's go best performance by an actress in a leading role in a musical. I was so close because there's five of them and ended up being three highlighted here. I said Mary Bridget Davis should win, but Adele Dazeen will win, but I was wrong. Jessie Melia for Beautiful. Did win. Best performance by an actor in a featured role in a play? I got. All right, do I give myself half points for getting the play right out of the three of them? Because I said Stephen Fry for The Twelfth Night, but it ended up being Mark Rylance for The Twelfth Night. I don't know. That's hard. That's really harsh. Out of the three actors from there, I got. Anyway, it was an easy get and didn't get it, but anyway. Best performance by an actress in a featured role in a play? I said Sarah Greeny, The Cripple of Irishman. Sophie Occhionido for Raisin in the Sun actually got it. One I actually did get, yay! James Moore Englehart was the best performance by an actor in a feature role in a musical. Ding, fries are done. Best performance by an actress in a featured role in a musical. I said Lauren Worsham for A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder should win. But Linda Hall, Hedwig, and the Angry Inch will win, and did win. Best scenic design of a play. These ones should have been easy gets, but anyway. Best scenic design of a play. I said Christopher Ohm for Cripple of Irishmen, but it was Bylulf Byrd, Act 1. Best Scenic Design of a Musical. I said Alexandra Dodge for A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, but it actually was Christopher Barica for Rocky. Best Costume Design for a Play. I said Rita Rutrick for Casa Violenta, but it was actually was Jenny Taramone for Twelfth Night. Best Costume Design for a Musical. I don't know why, but I said William Ivory Long for Bullets Over Broadway because he was big at the time. But Linda Chow for A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder actually won it. Best lighting design of a play. I said Paul Constable for The Cripple of Irishmen, but Natasha Katz for The Glass Menagerie. Best lighting design for a musical. Kevin Adams for Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which I predicted and won. Huzzah! I got one finally. I think there's five more categories, so stick with me here. Sound design for a play, Alex Borowski for Cripples for Irishmen was my prediction, and I got it wrong. Steve Caron Kennedy for Ladies' Day at Edmunds Bar and Grill. Now, that's sound design of a musical. Brian Ronin for Beautiful should win, and Tim O'Hur, Hedrick and the Angry Inch will win. I got the should, so I got a half point there. Best direction of a play, I said Michael Grandich for The Cripple of Irishmen, but Kenny Leon for A Raisin in the Sun actually won it. Best direction of a musical, Dariko Trenjek for A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder was the prediction and the winner. Best cinematography, delicious cinnamon. I said Stephen Hoggett and Kelly Devine for Rocky should win, and Casey Nicaraw for Aladdin will win, but neither of them did. Warren Cridle for After Midnight did win. Poor Bullets Over Broadway got snubbed. Best orchestrations, last category. You'd think these last categories were easy wins, but I don't know. I just didn't. I flopped, obviously. I said Jonathan Trinick for A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder should win, but Steve Sindwell will win for Beautiful. Neither of them did. It was Jason Robert Brown for The Bridges of Madison County did win. So, totaling 9 points out of 26. That is the Tony Awards predictions results. Finally. Finally. I thought, no, I'm not gonna. I'm not. Because I want to do it again next year. So I can't leave 2014 behind me if I didn't drag those up. I actually found them in a folder where I didn't know where they were. I was searching all around for them. And I wanted to do them on this show because it'll be then the f it'd be we're going into the fourth Tony Awards of me actually doing the predictions and the results. So this year was the third. And next year will be the fourth. It's 4 years of that. Jesus. All right. Will it be 4 years? Yeah, 2011 I would have started that. Wowzers. All right. Time flies when you're having fun. So let's take a step back, and before we get into some of the big tech stories and another article that I liked. Yes, I'm basing this on Australia, by the way, full disclaimer, but I don't really care. It is an Australian produced podcast, so you've gotta take that on board. But anyway, we want to thank we want to thank you for considering us. I don't know what that's meant to mean. It's another excuse for a drink break, so there you go. You can go over and be our boss at patreon.com/geek.io, but if you can't really afford a month-to-month donation system, then go on over to geek-io.net/support, and there you will find a list of companies and another link to the Patreon site that help support this show, and you can support them by supporting us. I don't know what that's meant to mean. Use those products and services to help us with no extra cost. So there you go. Let's move into our discussion point, which I don't know what it is. No, I'm just kidding. It's the best of 2014, and what a big year it has been. The show launched in April, the show went away in April, and came back in December, and then stayed, and we're all cylinders firing. But we'll get into what we're looking forward to in 2015 in just a couple of minutes after we do. Look at some of the bigger tech stories, Australian tech stories in 2014, in no particular order, so these aren't a top 10 per se. But the headline, "The Government Eyes Your Metadata." One of the big stories of the year was the Australians' quest for data retention. And we actually talked, this was actually a nominee awarded by the GLS committee to be put up for headline of the year. Actually, no, topic of the year. But it didn't win, so there you go. While they initially fumbled with the definition and putting browser history within scope, Malcolm Turnbull later ruled it out. But concerns remain, and the idea that metadata could be used to chase pirates also reared its head. Legislation was tabled in October, and the piracy once again became a talking point, but the bill has not passed yet, so the debate of metadata is still fully intact. The CSIRO faced major cuts. While the government was eyeing your data, the CSIRO was eyeing its future with major funding cuts announced as a federal budget in May. What was that federal budget? Treasurer Joe Hockey confirmed that the CSIRO's belt would be tightened to the order of $111.4 million over 4 years, threatening Australia's leading scientific research organisation, which conducts research on areas as diverse as climate change, astronomy, and mineral resources. So, in order to be cut, $111.4 million in. In just over 4 years, that's tough. Definitely some belt tightening going on there. The next headline is "Behind Closed Doors," and huge thank you to CNET.com for providing this list for me. Saved me a lot of legwork. In November, WikiLeaks published the IP chapter of its Trans-Pacific Partnership, a major international trade agreement negotiated between Australia and 11 other countries. The signatories accounting for 40% of global GDP, but negatories have been going on behind closed doors since 2010, leaving the public in the dark. Said to be one of the more continuous parts of the agreement, the intellectual property chapter has major implications for issues such as geo-blocking and DRM criminalization, quote unquote, of privacy, fair use laws, and the lifespan of copyright. While details are still sketchy, Australians could see major changes in their digital rights when the final deal is signed off. Yeah, that was a huge, huge thing. The headline for the next one was "One More Onto the Branch." Daily Deal's website Catch of the Day had major headlines when its heads this year when it revealed that customer information had been compromised in a hack. While the news was bad itself, Catch of the Day came under fire for taking struggling 3 years to reveal the breach. Whoa. The delay in admitting a fault prompted Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus to renew calls for mandatory data breach disclosure laws to protect consumers. There had been no real movement on the front, but if Sony's high-profile hack at the close of 2014 has taught us anything, that is more private information is not necessarily as secure as we think. Next headline was "The NBN Becomes the MTM." As part of the drive to make the NBN available quicker for less money, Communications Minister Malcolm Turnbull announced the NBN Co would be working under the new multi-technology mix with FFTP, FTTN, and HFC fixed wireless and satellites. The federal government later dropped the acronym count by officially killing FFTB and NBC Co's acquisition of Telstra and Optus legacy copper and HFC networks finally locked Australia into a mixed technology future. Next up, we had payphones turn into wireless hotspots. Yeah, no, that's a major story and a half out of turn. Getting internet access outside on the run has become a lot easier in 2014 thanks to a number of cities setting up free public Wi-Fis, including Adelaide, Canberra, and Perth. Telstra is embarking to make the mission. The mission. Their mission is to launch it Australia-wide. Thanks to a bit of spectrum wrangling, Telstra and Vodafone have also brought the better mobile internet into indoors with low-frequency 4G. Switching on across the country, while Optus expanded 4G to 200 new regions. Oof. Pirates were put on watch this year in a bid to lose the title of the biggest nation of pirates. The federal government spent 2014 weighing up its possibility of site blocking and three strike policies for those who found pirated. A move that, didn't really work. After an engaging in a war of words with the old legal advisory Village Roadshow, iiNet was also taken back to court in an attempt to block Dallas Buyers Club from getting details on customers who alleged pirated the film. As this legal stroke played out, anti-piracy site blocking legislation was finally ushered into Parliament in December, and ISPs were told to play nice with their rights. They have until April 8th, 2015 to get their shit together, pretty much. Pretty much get their shit together, so before they go back to court. And of course, with the top, the People's Choice Award, streaming gets a shake-up. Yes, we talked about the Netflix coming to Australia in March. It brings with it a strong recommendation engine and a warning to ISPs to lift their game. Foxtel is shaping up to be as strong as a competitor for Netflix after it reduced its pricing. Halved its pricing of its Presto instant service and launched a new venture with Channel 7 known as Presto Entertainment. Fairfax and Nine will also be hopping on to meet these services with Stan, a rebranded version of the old Steam Co. So we are, although I'm looking, this is, I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but I'm looking, this is in my looking forward to 2015 kind of list because this will bring. More, this is Netflix has cracked what we all want here. They have identified things that Australians do, particularly with the ISP kind of restrictions that they have, like people put on Australians. Netflix has identified that and gone, hey, people use ProXPN, I say ProXPN because they're a sponsor of the show, but ProXPN to access Netflix. I'm guilty, by the way. Full disclaimer, but that's I pay a service to get a service, so there you go. And that coming close to home, it's a wise move for Netflix to do so. Alrighty, what are we going to move to next? Uber! Of course, everyone around the world has been talking about Uber. But it did launch in Australia in this year, and it generated plenty of buzz from the public and protestations. Oh, that's not how you spell protests. It's not how you spell protest. From the taxi industry, various state governments' authorities waded in to debate, but some hedging their bets on whether Uber X is legal, while others are warning that drivers face fines. The service is still operating, but it hasn't been clear sailing for Uber in 2014. After running a free ice cream promotion in July, customers complained that they were hit with hidden credit card charges, while the company chopped copped flak or chopped flak for quadrupling pricing during the Sydney siege. Uber is still a weird shell, and I'll get through this next one and then come back to Uber because I want to talk about Uber a little bit more in my what I'm looking forward to in 2015 and what that'll bring for the show. And lastly, the Sun Swift's Electric Dreams. Australia rounded out the year with some good news in its innovation stakes, with Sun Swift's Eve making car tech headlines for all the right reasons. It's all about that bass. No, it's not all about the bass. It's all about breaking that world land speed record because no slowdowns. I don't know. The electric vehicle traveling over 500 kilometers in distance in a single charge, a record that stood since 1988. The team started a campaign to raise funds to make Eve street legal, and whirlwind, in 10 days, they hit their 30,000 crowdfunding target just before Christmas. So, yeah, it looks really cool. So, there you go. I will put the link to this best of 2014 list in the show notes. Now, I do have this other. You know what? This show is going to be huge anyway, so why not just make it huger? I found a top 10 list of big startups in 2014. So let's knock these over real quick before we get into what we like of 2015. So number 10 on this list is Nuail. Its sale price was 50 million estimate. They LinkedIn purchased them, the news app site. Okay, don't know why it was sold for 50 million, but anyway, and they basically raised 2.6 million from Draper Fisher Jefferson and others prior to its exit. So there you go. Convertro and its sale price to AOL for $101 million. So there you go. Convertro. It is a cross-platform advertising analyst software company. And it got sold for over 100 million. Next up, Dive. That's $120 million price tag. It was a mobile productivity app company, which lets users split a single mobile device in quadrants for work and personal use. There you go. And it was sold to Google. Number seven on this list was Viber at $900 million. It was basically a free messaging and phone calling app. A phone app company, and it was sold to the Japanese e-commerce giant Rakuten. Weird. Number six is Twitch, as purchased by Amazon. Who could have forgotten that? And its price tag of 970 million, which, by the way, did fall short of its $1 billion price tag. Remember how it had that $1 billion price tag? But you know, it ended up not having that price tag. Twitch just decided to accept its losses and decide that 970 is close enough. And number five on this list was Oculus Rift for $2 billion. and it was sold to, of course, Facebook. As we're getting down the list, it's starting to get like, oh yeah, this big company kind of, well, this big company, so I don't have to explain who they are. Number four on this list was Beats Electronics, sold for $3 billion estimate. And they were purchased by Apple. Everyone remembers that story. Nest Labs sold for $3.2 billion to Google. Now, I need to do a bit of research on Nest Labs. Did they produce the hardware? I need to get that straight. Yes, they did. Okay. All right. They did produce that. Oh, that was really quick research. Came up straight away, so there you go. This just handed to me from stage left. No, this just handed me from stage left. I'm just kidding. I don't even know what this piece of paper is. This just handed me from stage left. Anyway. Just dropped my pen to the ground. All right, that's horrible. All right, number two was Trillia for $3.5 billion. Now I've never heard of this, so I'm just gonna read this. Home real estate portals Zillow and Trillia agreed to merge this summer. Zillow agreeing to pay $3.5 billion in stock. Zillow founder Rich Barton previously stated Expedia, I know who Expedia is, by linking up with Trulia, now the two become an 800-pound gorilla in online real estate sales. Okay, so basically a real estate agent merged with another real estate agent. Oh, jeez, that's my back. Sorry about that. And of course, the acquisition of the year was WhatsApp, so there you go. For $19 billion. Holy shite. That's a lot of money. Like, a lot of money was thrown around this year, so that's a lot of money to be thrown around. People are becoming one. In this world of love and peace, they're all becoming one. So there you go. Let's move into that's the best of 2014. That folks, hope you liked 2014. But anyway, let's move into stuff that we're looking forward to in 2015. I am looking forward to continuing the show on in 2015. This show has gone through a lot. It has gone through a lot since its original episode back in April of this year. And it's gone, it's come back, and it's staying. I'm happy with the way that the show is now establishing itself in the generic life market. But anyway, I'm happy with it, and thank you everyone for supporting me in this crazy venture of generic live show, because it is a kind of a weird show to be putting on week to week. And it's so good to have that support. So I'm happy to see. Happy to talk about the topics that are big at the time and that are still continuously going to be big. Now, one of the things I'm really looking forward to is seeing if some of these stories do come to light again in 2015, like the Uber story. And I told you I was going to get back to Uber, but I want to see if Uber keeps in Australia, because that is the one thing. Following the Uber story, following the government copyright story, and following all along those stories will be the determinator. The determinator? I just made that up. Will be the determinator between how things advance in Australia. I mean, if we don't get Uber, we're stuck back in 1966 all of a sudden with old style public transport. But if Australia comes to accept that transportation is this new way, then maybe things might be a little bit different. So there you go. And I'm also looking forward to the streaming services. Those are something I'm really looking forward to, and seeing what new things those have to offer. Of course, month to month, I guess they're updated every month, but I suppose they're updated constantly. But March will be interesting because that's when all those services come to light. But I'm looking forward to spending more time on here and just being here and delivering news. I have ideas for the show, like I teased earlier, more special little bits and pieces as well. Will be nice. If I manage to get to do them, I'm not saying that this is not guaranteed, but this is what something I'd like to do is more little once-off special reports and once-off, take a topic and go right into it. That's what we need with some of these topics. But that's less of that's stuff that I want to do eventually. That's not stuff that I'd want to do in 2015. At the moment, I'm just looking for more development of the show as the way it is, get comfortable with the show. I have a few once-off specials here, like I teased before. I am planning, it's not confirmed, but I am planning a fourth annual Tony Awards predictions and predictions results shows. Because those are just fun. I am a huge musical theatre nerd, so you can't take me out of, can't take me anywhere, first of all. Second of all, you can't take me out of the musical theatre industry. You can't take me out of that. But that would be, I think, the nominations are the 28th of April. So we're a little while off yet. We're a couple of months off that yet. And just the Tony Awards on the 7th of June. Yes, Sunday the 7th of June. So they will be on the show. If we make it their own little show, probably we'll make them their own little special shows. But no, I do enjoy doing this show, and it's one of my favorite things I get to do week to week. So thank you so much. We will return back to regular programming next week. We'll be back Wednesday. Yes, Wednesday the 7th. Wow, that's too soon. I gotta turn around and do a terrible Tuesday movie night again too. Oh Jesus. But no, it's so fun and it's so good to be here. I've got a busy week next week actually. I got three shows to do. Anyway. Thank you everyone for joining us. Where you can find us? You can find us on the Geeko and Chefwanda Podcast Networks, chefwanda.squarespace.com/GLS, geek-io.net/GLS. gplus.to/genericliveshow is where you can find us. YouTube.com/genericliveshow is our YouTube page. And remember, you can support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/geekio. So that's going to do it for us. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for the first show of 2015, and I forgot to mention this is episode number 14. I mentioned it in the pre-show, didn't mention it in the actual show, but I mentioned it now. Best of 2014, episode 14. Hope you liked 2014. It's all coming up 14 today, isn't it? Yes, we start off the new, well, it is a new year. What am I saying? Start off the new regular year with 15, so that's nice. But anyway. Thank you everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Bye for now. If I can cue up the music, there you go, right here.
Listening to a radio program provided by the Chefwanda Media Network. For this and other shows, visit chefwanda.squarespace.com. For more radio programs like this one. Copyright 2015. See? 2015.
You have been listening to a part of the Geek.io Podcast Network.
Loud noises!
Visit us at geek-io.com for all of our great shows.
The pressure is building slowly, inexorably inside me. Oh my.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad for you. Go figure out how it works.
Geek.io. Copyright 2014.
If you love bad movies, then you'll love Terrible Tuesday Movie Night. Join Dale Campbell as he delivers another bad movie on a platter for you to enjoy. Movies have included Catwoman, The Room, Red Dawn, and more. Every single Tuesday right here on the Chef Wonder Podcast Network. And on the Geek.io Masterfeed every single Tuesday right here. The Geek.io and Chef Wonder Podcast Networks. Hope you like 2014.